Such a weapon was in their hands. Such a discovery had been made in the critical moment of their fate. The chemists of China or Europe had found, by casual or elaborate experiments, that a mixture of saltpeter, sulphur, and charcoal produces, with a spark of fire, a tremendous explosion. It was soon observed that, if the expansive force were compressed in a strong tube, a ball of stone or iron might be expelled with irresistible and destructive velocity. The precise era of the invention and application of gunpowder is involved in doubtful traditions and equivocal language. Yet we may clearly discern that it was known before the middle of the 14th century, and that before the end of the same, the use of artillery in battles and sieges by sea and land was familiar to the states of Germany, Italy, Spain, France, and England. The priority of nations is of small account. None could derive any exclusive benefit from their previous or superior knowledge. And in the common improvement, they stood on the same level of relative power and military science. Nor was it possible to circumscribe the secret within the pale of the Church. It was disclosed to the Turks by the treachery of apostates and the selfish policy of rivals. And the sultans had sense to adopt, and wealth to reward, the talents of a Christian engineer. The Genoese, who transported Amurath into Europe, must be accused as his preceptors. And it was probably by their hands that his cannon was cast and directed at the siege of Constantinople. The first attempt was indeed unsuccessful. But in the general warfare of the age, the advantage was on their side who were most commonly the assailants. For a while, the proportion of the attack and defence was suspended, and this thundering artillery was pointed against the walls and towers which had been erected only to resist the less potent engines of antiquity. By the Venetians, the use of gunpowder was communicated without reproach to the sultans of Egypt and Persia, their allies against the Ottoman power. The secret was soon propagated to the extremities of Asia, and the advantages of the European was confined to his easy victories over the savages of the New World. If we contrast the rapid progress of this mischievous discovery with the slow and laborious advances of reason, science, and the arts of peace, a philosopher, according to his temper, will laugh or weep at the folly of mankind.
Mohammed II, whom Gibbon calls the Great Destroyer, now enters this, the final act of the Byzantine Empire. Gibbon tells us that Mohammed II reportedly spoke five languages, Greek, Arabic, Hebrew, Persian, and Latin. But as Gibbon adds, the influence of religion and learning were employed without effect on his savage and licentious nature. I will not transcribe, nor do I firmly believe, the stories of his 14 pages, whose bellies were ripped open in search of a stolen melon, or of the beauteous slave whose head he severed from her body to convince the Janissaries that their master was not the votary of love. But it cannot be denied that his passions were at once furious and inexorable. Mohammed II was absolutely determined to capture the prize of Constantinople. In 1453, he started a siege of the city, then under the final emperor, Constantine.
Among the implements of destruction, he studied with peculiar care the recent and tremendous discovery of the Latins, and his artillery surpassed whatever had yet appeared in the world. A founder of cannon, a Dane or Hungarian, who had been almost starved in the Greek service, deserted to the Muslims, and was liberally entertained by the Turkish Sultan. Mohammed was satisfied with the answer to his first question, which he eagerly pressed on the artist. "Am I able to cast a cannon, capable of throwing a ball or stone of sufficient size to batter the walls of Constantinople? I am not ignorant of their strength, but were they more solid than those of Babylon, I could oppose an engine of superior power. The position and management of that engine must be left to your engineers." On this assurance, a foundry was established at Adrianople. The metal was prepared, and at the end of 3 months, Urban produced a piece of brass ordnance of stupendous and almost incredible magnitude.